Hello and welcome to the Rush Hour. It's Monday, the 11th of July, the Feast of St. Benedict. Plenty of Catholic news from over the weekend. Let's start with Pope Benedict, who has greeted crowds after arriving by helicopter at his summer residence in Castel Gandolfo. The Pope will be staying there for about 3 months and plans to finish the third part of his book, Jesus of Nazareth. He gave an address there before the midday Angelus yesterday. The full text is available on today's Rush Hour post. Speaking about the parable of the sower, he quoted St. John Chrysostom, who said Jesus pronounced these words with the intention of drawing his listeners to him and to call them, assuring them that if they turn to him, he will heal them. The Pope continued, "Ultimately, the true parable of God is Jesus himself, his person who, through the sign of humanity, at the same time conceals and reveals the divinity. In this way, God does not force us to believe in him, but he draws us to himself with the truth and goodness of his incarnate Son. Love, in fact, always respects freedom." He also briefly recalled today's Feast of St. Benedict. He said, "In the light of this gospel, we look to him as a master of listening to the word of God, a deep and persevering listening. We must always learn from the great patriarch of Western monasticism to give God the place that belongs to him, the first place, offering him, with morning and evening prayer, our daily activities. May the Virgin Mary help us by her example to be good soil where the seed of the word might bear fruit." And just briefly, some other Vatican news. Rome Report says that the Vatican has released a new document on confession and spiritual direction. The quotes you hear in this story come from Monsignor Celso Morga, the secretary of the Congregation for the Clergy.
Benedict XVI has decided to relaunch confessions and spiritual direction. He will do this through a very expressive gesture. This summer, he will sit in the confessional during World Youth Day in Madrid. A handful of young people will make their confessions with the Pope. The Vatican also just published the document, The Priest, Minister of Divine Mercy, an aid for confessors and spiritual directors. It's a manual on how to be good confessors. It will help priests to rediscover the pastoral value of these simple actions. They are very simple, so they seem to have no pastoral power, but are a very powerful ministry, if we know how to administer them well, and we are available to offer them. The new document has been prepared by the Congregation for the Clergy and is signed by its prefect, Cardinal Mauro Pincenza, as well as the number two of the congregation, Archbishop Celso Morga. The first part of the text explains the sacrament of penance and gives practical advice on administering and receiving the sacrament. For example, it includes an examination of conscience meant for priests. The document encourages priests to be readily available for confession and spiritual direction, and at the same time to frequently confess themselves and to have spiritual direction. The second half of the text explains the doctrine of spiritual guidance on how to help other souls and how to be helped by a spiritual director. The document has been sent to all bishops' conferences in the world and is available on the web at clarus.org.
Disturbing new information about abortion in Britain has been released after a five-year David and Goliath legal battle between pro-life groups and the British Department of Health after a Freedom of Information request. Some of the statistics include, in 2010, 482 babies with Down syndrome were aborted. 10 of these were over 24 weeks old. Another 181 were aborted due to family history in inherited disorders. In total, there were 2,290 abortions in 2010 for reasons of some handicap or genetic problem. Of these, 147 were performed after 24 weeks of gestation. There were also significant numbers of abortions carried out on girls under the age of consent in England and Wales. In 2010, there were 3,718 abortions among those aged under 16. The information also shows that the number of abortions has risen by 8% during the last decade, to a total of 189,574 in 2010. Medical abortions, or pharmaceutical abortions, accounted for 43% of the total, up from 12% in 2000. The US bishops have launched a Facebook app and a website to serve as a virtual pilgrimage to World Youth Day 2011 for those who are staying at home. A Facebook fan page for the virtual World Youth Day lets users create an avatar, view live video from Madrid, follow key Twitter feeds and blogs, and upload photos and videos. Those in Madrid can contribute to the page from the event. US bishops' staff in Madrid will also post content from there as well. About 900 people have already created avatars and joined the pilgrimage. The website is virtualworldyouthday.org. The president of the Colombian Episcopal Conference is reiterating the church's appeal for an end to armed conflict in the country. Archbishop Jesus Gomez of Bogota stated Monday that the military operations against Alfonso Cano, the supreme leader of the FARC, that's the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia guerrilla group, wasn't an ideal situation. Unfortunately, these types of actions happen in the logic of an armed conflict, he said in a statement on the conference's webpage. The ideal would be that it didn't happen in our homeland. The ideal would be that we truly live in peace. Our message has always been that the conflict, please, cease. I think Colombia has evolved sufficiently in the last year so that there can be a real consensus, a dialogue in which all really participate in the construction of a better country. Dublin is gearing up to host the 50th International Eucharistic Congress from June the 10th to the 17th next year. Their website, www.iec2012.ie, is already up and running. There, users can find all types of information from registration to volunteering and making donations. The website has recommendations on accommodation, and it also has a few promotional videos. The president of the Congress is Archbishop Dermot Martin from Dublin, who has written a prayer for the site. The theme this year is the Eucharist, communion with Christ and with one another. This is the second International Eucharistic Congress to be held in Dublin. The first one was in 1932. A new exhibit in Rome displays the shirt worn by John Paul II on the day he was shot. This story from Rome Reports features the voice of Sister Beatrice Priori from the Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul.
In this Church of Rome's Daughters of Charity of St. Vincent de Paul, a special new relic is on display. It's the shirt that John Paul II wore the day he was shot in St. Peter's Square on May 13th, 1981. This shirt is important, both for what we can see with our eyes and that which isn't visible. It speaks of the great suffering of the Pope, what he suffered during the attack, but also the suffering that followed him the rest of his life. The day of the attack, doctors cut off the shirt to perform emergency surgery and left it in a corner of the operating room. The head nurse of the Policlinico Gemelli, Anna Strangellini, recovered the shirt, keeping it a secret for years. After retiring, she moved into the house of the Sisters of Charity. In March of 2000, she confessed her secret to Sister Beatrice Priori, who couldn't believe what she was hearing. I was perplexed, thoughtful, and quite frankly, I didn't know what to do. Thinking and rethinking, I realized that this was something important and should be preserved from being damaged or ruined. Along with another sister, we decided to preserve it as it is now. After the death of John Paul II, the sister decided to take the shirt to the Vatican for verification. Along with it, she brought a letter from the nurse explaining what happened, as well as an older letter she had written when she first discovered the shirt. A month later, after being verified, it was back in the hands of the Sisters of Charity. This shirt speaks of John Paul II's ability to forgive, his ability to love others. He forgave the man that tried to kill him, giving him his hand. Behind this shirt is a powerful hand that deflected the bullet. Doctors say if it had entered 2 millimeters to the left or 2 to the right, he never would have made it to the Gemelli Hospital. The hand behind this was the Virgin Mary's. The religious community has guarded this shirt in a room with other objects of symbolic value. Now, after the beatification of John Paul II, it's on display in their church for everyone to see.
And just briefly, in response to an explosive statement released by his religious order this week accusing Father John Carapi of sexual impropriety, drug and alcohol abuse, and improper financial practices, Carapi has now released a statement denying most of the allegations. And the Diocese of Malindi in Kenya has been appointed a new bishop, Father Emmanuel Barbara, OFM Cap, Provincial Master of the Capuchins in Malta. The Diocese of Malindi, built in 2000, is a suffragan of the Archdiocese of Mombasa. It has an area of 30,000 square kilometres and a population of 500,000, of whom 25,000 are Catholic. There are 17 parishes, 35 priests, 30 religious orders, 44 nuns, and 8 major seminarians. Thanks for listening to today's program. Happy Feast of St. Benedict. We'll speak to you again tomorrow. God bless.